I'd like to read for us today from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I invite you to turn there with me if you have a Bible. If not, it'll be on the screen. But 1 Corinthians 12, we're going to do a verse 1 and then verses 4 through 11. Calling today, Presence Under the Tree. And of course, you're all familiar with that common Christmas imagery. Yes, I do know that we're coming up on Easter, not on Christmas. We're familiar with that Christmas imagery. You have the tree set up, the presents underneath. What I want you to imagine today as we begin is imagine that Christmas has come and gone. Christmas is long past, maybe like today, it's April or something like that. And you still have a tree set up, and there are still presents lying underneath the tree, unopened. There are still presents underneath your tree, unexamined, unused, unenjoyed, weeks, months later. And if that were the case, what would that say about how much you thought of the gift? What would it say about how much you thought of the person who gave you the gift? And so I want you to imagine as well today, if God ever gave you a gift, would you ever let it underneath the tree? Do we ever have something from God and not open it, not enjoy it? Is it possible there are many of us going about our lives and we've got a present back home from the God of the universe? I want you to listen to 1 Corinthians 12. Read along with me. Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines. The Word of the Lord. So first, presents. Don't want to let them under the tree. First, let's talk a little bit about what these gifts are. As we start, I want to emphasize that today is not exhaustive. This is just a piece, just an introduction. There's so much more to say. We may well come back to this weeks or months down the road. I'll begin by just mentioning representatively a few of these gifts. The main passages that deal with spiritual gifts are, four of them, the main passages are Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, 1 Peter 4. All right, so very easy to remember, 12, 12, 4, 4, Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, 1 Peter 4, four main lists of the gifts. And in those lists, you find things like what I read earlier, things like leadership, administration, showing mercy, contributing to the needs of others, things like wisdom and discernment and so forth. Now, personally, I tend to view these lists as more representative than comprehensive, meaning they are giving a few main examples, a sampling, if you were, not trying necessarily to cover every single one. I say that partly because the same author wrote many of those lists, and they're not exactly the same. It doesn't seem like he's trying to say these are, by definition, the all and the only spiritual gifts. Somewhat probably like the fruit of the Spirit. You know, Galatians 5 is not listing every possible virtue that a Christian possesses or demonstrates by the Holy Spirit, just some of the main ones. You know, this is what characterizes those who have the Spirit. So I tend to see these as representative. My opinion could change on that in time. I also wrestle with whether it is wise to group the gifts into categories. Groupings or classifications of different types of gifts. And in some ways, that it maybe seems to be too strict, rigid, formal. There's a lot of overlap between the gifts. So I don't want to be unwise in trying to too narrowly define things. Nevertheless, as many gifts as there are, and God has wired us to name and to classify and to organize, that's part of what we see in Genesis 2, it does seem helpful to give some general categories, even while we hold them lightly. At the same time, Paul mentions that there are different kinds, different types, different perhaps categories of gifts in verse 4. So I will mention today, and to help you begin to think about the different gifts that are available, I'll mention speaking gifts, serving gifts, and what I will call sign gifts. Speaking gifts, serving gifts, sign gifts. Regarding speaking and serving, you'll sometimes hear those called word and deeds gifts, word-oriented gifts and deeds-oriented gifts. As I say, there's a lot of overlap between these. Those who speak hopefully do so with a servant's heart, with a desire to build into others and for the purpose of building others up, serving others. And those who serve, things like hospitality or showing mercy, those who serve hopefully, probably will sooner or later speak to the person they are serving. So there's a lot of overlap between the categories. Nevertheless, we can see that certain ones are geared more towards practical acts of service, often behind the scenes, unseen. A treasurer for 40 years, serving by counting and taking care of the finances. Things like showing mercy, contributing to the needs of others. There's some that are more practical acts of service. And then there are ones that are geared more towards verbal exhortation, both corporately and privately. Teaching, prophesying words of encouragement, messages of wisdom, and so forth. Speaking, serving. And I mentioned signs as its own separate category. Not that those who have signs or that walk in signs never speak or never do service, but to emphasize that there are gifts that are qualitatively just a little bit different. A little bit more phenomenal. Healing, tongues, interpretation of tongues, certain kinds of prophecy, at least. A little more phenomenal, but they are listed in Scripture, not least in our 1 Corinthians 12 passage for today. And they are still taking place in the church today. Unfortunately, if you read anything on tongues, everyone starts off with, tongues are one of the most controversial and divisive issues in the church in our time. Virtually everybody includes a line like that at the beginning of their treatment of tongues. It should not be that way. Certainly it is not my desire today to be controversial. I'm just wanting to work straight from Scripture. These are the gifts He has for us. And some have pointed out that we should perhaps focus on the less emphasized gifts so that when we finish all of our theological battles over tongues, we will have those with the gift of mercy to help us heal and be the church again. Different categories. It's also worth pointing out that these gifts, spiritual gifts there in verse 1, these gifts are not just natural abilities. When you become a Christian, when you receive a spiritual gift, there may be some overlap with your natural abilities. You may have a spiritual enhancement of what you already were just naturally, but perhaps not. It may be something totally different. A person who is gifted for speaking in the corporate world, but that is never their function or their main role in the corporate church. It may not be your natural gifting. The gifts typically, and this is good news, maybe opposite of how we often think about it, the gifts typically will be something you will enjoy doing. something you will enjoy doing quite a lot. You will find you get life out of it. God made you to do this. There's no sense of being sour-faced when you walk and serve in your spiritual gifting. There's a sense of joy and delight, a real feeling of, I was made for this. When you walk in your spiritual gifting, generally, you will bear fruit. That's not to say there won't be periods of dryness. Talking with some of our staff recently about missionaries who have things like where they see 7 converts over 30 years of service. Absolutely faithful the whole way through. Not saying we never encounter dry soil or extended periods of dryness, but very often there is a divinely granted effectiveness that accompanies the gifts he has for you. Your gift will generally be recognized and affirmed by others. Others will see it in you and recognize it and speak it back to you. Your gift is not just, I want to sing solo, whether or not anybody else agrees that I can sing. Your gift is not just, I want to lead, I want to preach, I want to teach, I want to cook for the hospitality committee. And everybody else knows you can't. Your gift typically will be things others can see in you, will have experience from you. I find this next one to be very, very helpful. So often your gifting will come to you in the form of a capacity that is there for you to develop. It does not arrive in a fully expressed automatic ability. It's a potential there that with practice and work and effort you can grow into. You may have a sense that God has wired you for a certain thing and yet still feel like you're not very good at it and we just kind of stop in frustration. Don't just wait for him to complete it. Get into it. Practice, train, try in small settings, and you will find yourself beginning to grow. Gifts very often arrive in unfinished form, and then we walk into the fuller expression. Capacity, potentiality. Some point out that very often there is not just one gift for you, not just one gift per person, but often a constellation of gifts. And you'll find that you have sort of primary gifts and then secondary giftings, a constellation of gifts. But most of all, most simply, talking about what the gifts are, if you want to know what your gift is, if you want to know what your gift is, you're not sure, maybe you want extra confirmation, you want to know what your gift is, try answering these 2 questions and try to answer them. I usually don't say things like this, but try to answer them with as little thought as possible. All right? Don't overthink it. Just first thing that comes to mind when you hear these questions. Ready? First question out of the 2. First question, how do you most add value to Antrim? How do you most add value to Antrim? What is it that when you think about your participation here, you realize this is a blessing to others when I do this? What is it that when you do it, it most adds value to our community of faith here at Antrim Church? That's the first question. How do you most add value? Here's the second. What gives you most joy in your ministry here at Antrim? How do you most add value to others? What gives you most joy when you do it? The answer to those 2 questions, first gut reaction, quite likely that's your spiritual gift. Run it by others. Practice it. See if there's some kind of effective, divinely granted effectiveness, affirmation from others. But those 2 questions will go a long way to leading us towards knowing what our gifts are. And if, as I ask those 2, how do you most add value to Antrim? What gives you most joy at Antrim? If your answer was, I don't know, or none, what ministry? You probably got a present underneath the tree. It was given to you a long time ago, and it's still sitting there. Get it out, church, by your Holy Spirit, Lord God. Let us open it up and use it and enjoy it. If you're not sure, the answer is none. You probably have a present sitting underneath the tree, or you just started coming here sometime in the last 3 months. If you're that new, you get a pass. Anything beyond that, it's time. Get involved. A spiritual gift is from God through you to others for the benefit of others. Spiritual gifts are things that are from God through, not just for you, through you for the gathered church. There's a whole lot more that could be said there on discovering your gift. Going to have to stop there for today. Let's ask this. Hearing all of that, how do you know you're really one of the lucky ones that has a present from God through you? How do you know you're one of the ones? Second, verse 7. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Oh my. To each one. Cannot say it enough. If you are in Christ, if you are a believer, if you have expressed faith in Christ by His Holy Spirit, He has a manifestation of His Spirit for you, through you. To each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given. That means, in the first place, it is not just pastors. Most of you know that. Hear me loud and clear, it's not just pastors. When you hear about these spiritual gifts, don't think paid staff. Do not think clergy. Clergy cannot do everything, I promise you. There are some things, believe it or not, there are some things we cannot do. There are many things we cannot do. And there are plenty of things that certain people in the body, not the staff, are uniquely equipped to do. Layperson, laity, has the unfortunate connotation in English of meaning someone who cannot do something. In all kinds of secular use, the laity are people who are not qualified. They are not specialized. A layperson medically is someone who is not a medical professional. A layperson legally has not passed the bar. A layperson secularly is somebody who is not a specialist. It is the exact opposite in the church. It's the exact opposite. The church is where there is the specialized ability of every single one. You are a specialist. You are able. You're a professional spiritually. You're equipped. Not necessarily unique, meaning nobody else can do what you can do, but specific, something you were made for. Do you know what it is? Are you walking in it, growing in it? You're a specialist. In general, each Christian is to be involved in each of these gifts. Most of us will participate in them at some point or another. You're called to give, even if giving is not your spiritual presence. We're called to serve, to show hospitality. We're called to counsel one another, even if those are not your specific gifts. Most of us will participate in most of them at some point or another, yet also some of us have a particular wiring for it, a joy, an effectiveness in using it. We will consistently walk in opportunities that God has particularly prepared for us and prepared for us. It's a manifestation of the Spirit through you for others. Just want to give you one example of how much this is the everyday Christian in the seats. I mentioned that there was a touch at the healing and prayer service. Just want to share a few more details today. Back at that healing and prayer service on January 6th, one of the things I had said was that it may well be that there are certain people out there that have gifts of healing, faith, and prayer that you need to pray for you, not the pastors. And I meant that with every fiber of my being. We went downstairs for the FLC service. Danielle and I were sitting third row from the back. I sat down after doing that little talk before the healing and prayer time. We were waiting our turn to come forward, and while we were waiting there, I kid you not, a woman from the very back row, two rows behind us, comes up to us, places a hand on each knee, and says, God told me during the prayer time to come pray for you. 20 years ago, I was prayed over and given the gift of healing. And a warmth flooded Danielle's body from her head to her toes. Now, why that turned out the way that it did with Jack, I have no idea. I have said before, that is beyond my knowledge, that is above my pay grade. Why it turned out the way it did, I have no idea. What I do know is this. If you had asked me to list 100 people in the church who might have the gift of healing, she would not have been one of them. She is now. We've developed quite a friendship. She knows that I was going to say that today. If you had asked me 100 people that God might have gifted in that way, I knew her before. She's quiet, generally. She serves behind the scenes. Never would have crossed my mind she might have the gift of healing. To each one, you have a gift. God has a manifestation of his Spirit, particularly for you, for the good of this church. Every single one, if you are in Christ. What has he given you? Are you using it? And if you are not sure and you want to be, here's how you can be. Here's how the gifts are given. Verse 3, which I didn't read earlier, verse 3 in this passage makes clear that the reception of the Spirit's gifts are closely tied to the acknowledgement of Jesus as Lord. To receive a spiritual gift is closely tied to acknowledging Jesus Christ as the exalted Lord of the universe. That is, in fact, the foundational ministry of the Spirit, to enable us, to quicken us, to recognize and confess Jesus is Lord. A dead sitter cannot do that. Holy Spirit's enabling to perceive and praise the exalted Christ. John 16, Jesus says, the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. The glory of Christ is the primary ministry of the Spirit. And Ephesians chapter 4, one of those other passages of the gifts, just before Paul goes on to list the gifts there, Paul writes, but to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why God says when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. When does he give gifts? When he ascended on high. Now, ascending has several different layers of meaning. The first place that Christ ascends is he ascends the holy hill of the Lord. He ascends to the cross, the tree. He ascends to the tree. Where do you get your gift? Under the tree. Under the cross of Christ. Don't let it there, but you get your presence under the tree, perceiving the crucified and exalted Christ, and then he ascends out of the grave and ascends to the throne, and he promised when he did that, when he would ascend to the throne, he would send his Holy Spirit and impart his gift to his church. That's when he ascends, gave gifts to men. First to the cross, then to heaven, to send his Spirit to give gifts. Perceive and profess Christ crucified and ascended as Lord. That's the ultimate answer. At the same time, Paul can tell Timothy in 1 Timothy 4, Paul says, Timothy, you should not neglect his gift, which was given through a prophetic message when the body of elders laid their hands on him. So when does Timothy get his gift? When Christ ascends and when the gathered church lays hands on and prays. It's both together. How do you get your gift? How do you know it and open it? What does that look like? It's the work of Christ, the work of the Spirit, and it's the prayer of the gathered community of faith. That's how we're going to close today. The song is going to be a prayer, and each one of us falls into one of four categories. Either you are here and you have never yet received Christ in faith, so the reason you're not walking with the spiritual gifting is you don't have his Spirit yet. And if that's you, oh, receive him today. First category of us. The second, perhaps you have received Christ, but you have had no idea that there even were such a thing, were such things as spiritual gifts. No idea what yours is personally. If that's you during this song, respond and pray, Lord, show it to me. I want to receive it. Maybe you have known what your gift is, but you've not been using it. Maybe you've been using it elsewhere, but not here. You've known it, but you're not using it. Maybe you are using it, but you desire greater effectiveness. Every single one of us falls into one of those four. And so as we sing, fill me, Holy Spirit. Not sure what your gift is. Not sure you're using it as much as maybe you like. Let us go and keep asking for the filling of the Spirit. And if you know and you're walking in it, great. Keep encouraging, uplifting others through the using of what God has imparted to you. If you're visiting with us, we'd love to meet you at the back of the service, get to know you a little bit. And for each one of us, let us go walking with all the fullness of the Spirit that He is pleased to give us. God bless you.